This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of it second. And then Stradivari followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes.
It's Gone Runner. Gone Runner with Laurent Giroux. Clear to the finish in the Louisiana Derby. Gone Runner wins Going Away.
Also sponsored by Adina Springs, Airdrie Stud, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainesway, Gulfstream Park, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, Kirkwood Stables, Lane's End, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, the New York Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Sunrise Stallions, Tony's of Lexington, the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program, and Washington Hay.
And Moore Spirit is progressing very nicely under Gary Stevens as he takes care of business with plenty left in the tank.
Creator of sudden breaking news, Creator's almost there. It's Ricardo Santana Jr. It's Creator to win the Arkansas Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Anthony Stabile.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, the Pontiff of the Pick Four, taking a little time off here this morning. So I'm joined by the Big A, Anthony Stabile. You can catch him every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday afternoon on our Express Bet Radio program, but you can listen to him for the next couple of hours live from Penn National here in Grantville, Pennsylvania. The third consecutive year we've had the privilege to open the show from this outstanding racing venue. And Big A, I think you would agree that when you come out here in the morning, as we are right now, positioned trackside right at the finish line, and you look at the mountains that are the backdrop for this racetrack, and you see them covered in fog as they are this morning, it is one of the great settings for racing that we have in the game today.
You couldn't be more right, Mike. And those words taste a little salty coming out of my mouth. But, you know, love the love the horses training in the morning.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've been to live racing at Penn. So the first time I was here in 08, there was simulcasting only. And nice little racetrack, pretty little racetrack. I'm more of a fan of the – Belmont's my favorite track, but I love these little tracks. And when you're on top of the action, we couldn't have a better – view than we have this morning.
No, it's spectacular. We are literally about 30 yards, maybe even less than that, from the main track. And of course, later this evening, beginning 6 o'clock Eastern, we're going to have coverage of the fourth running of the Grade 3 Penn Mile. That's a $500,000 race, 1 mile on the turf course. It is for the three-year-olds, and it's one of the more exciting races that you're going to see here at Penn all year long. Great field, as there is every year. And you think back to the history of that race and what we've seen in just 4 years. Last year, becoming a Grade 3 race for the very first time. If you ask me, I think that based on what we've seen in recent years, you could make it a Grade 2, because a couple of years ago, you had eventual Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint winner Bobby's Kitten come through this race. Last year, we saw Force the Pass get the victory here at Penn, went on later in the season to take the Grade 1 Belmont Derby Invitational. And then today, you actually have a Breeders' Cup winner, a filly, Catch a Glimpse, going against the boys in the Penn Mile later tonight.
And she'll be the first filly to contest the Penn Mile, try to win it. She's 2-1 on the morning line to do so and keep that impressive win streak intact. She lost her debut at the old Spa on the dirt, but since then she's been a little lawnmower. And trainer Mark Cassie, who has two in there, he has the filly, of course, and he also has Arrow Force, who was briefly on the Kentucky Derby trail after a win in the KJC last year. Things didn't go so well this year, but he got back to his preferred surface, the lawn, last time out, and he woke up a little bit. And I don't want to say he's an insurance policy, because he's already a graded stakes winner on the turf, but it's a pretty potent 1-2 punch from the Cassie barn.
We're going to talk to trainer Mark Cassie later in the program. He's set to join us right around 8:35 Eastern. And I loved one of his quotes that he had earlier this week. I was reading through one of the press releases, and he said that he was hoping, or Arrow Force was hoping, that Catch a Glimpse was going to go in the Penn Oaks as opposed to the Penn Mile. Not the case.
No, not the case. And it's funny, I had somebody on Twitter earlier this week, you know, question as to why AeroForce was in here. I said, well, there's about 500,000 reasons that AeroForce is in here, even though Catch a Glimpse is there. So, you know, yeah, Mark's pretty quick-witted. And like I said, wouldn't want to change places with Mark Cassie tonight. He has a pretty nice-looking Philly, Catch a Glimpse aside, in the Penn Oaks, which will start the action at 6:05 tonight, and be interested to see what he says about her.
Yeah, four stakes races coming your way. Of course, all that coverage, 6 to 8 Eastern Time, exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You'll be able to join us on SiriusXM Satellite Radio. SiriusXM Channel 83 is our home for the coverage tonight. And, of course, streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. It does kick off with the Penn Oaks, which will be race number one. That will be followed by the Pennsylvania Governor's Cup, and then the Mountain View Handicap, and of course the Penn Mile coming up as race number four. 7:40 Eastern is the post time for that Grade 3 event. Let's talk about the Governor's Cup for a minute, because you talk about the Penn Mile, the star quality that we have there, the Penn Oaks, rock solid, but then you come to the Governor's Cup, and here's our old friend, 10-year-old Ben's Cat, back here for another crack at this race.
How many 10-year-olds will say they're a perfect 2-for-2 this year? Probably no other than Ben's Cat, and they've been exciting wins. Listen, we were talking about this yesterday. If there was such a thing as frequent van miles, Ben's Cat would be might be the all-time leader. You know, we talk about the all-time earnings leader being California Chrome. Now, he'd be the all-time van leader, miles leader. Well, you know, there's not much to say about him. I mean, he shows up every single time he steps on a racetrack. And when that number's over 50 with over 30 wins, that's pretty impressive.
He's becoming somewhat of a cult figure in the sport of thoroughbred racing. Here he is, 10 years old. He'll make his 56th start tonight. Now, he's won 32 of those previous 55 races. He's earned more than $2.5 million. This is going to be Ben's Cat's fifth appearance in the Governor's Cup. You remember he won the race in 2011. He was fourth in 2012, third in 2013, didn't run in it in 14, came back last year and was beaten a zop on the line by Amelia's Wild Ride, ends up finishing second.
Can you imagine at the level he's competed at, over $2.5 million? And, you know, he did it the hard way early on, $20,000 claimer in his debut. So you could have had Ben's Cat, and this story may not have been written if somebody would have jumped in and grabbed him from the King in his debut. But could you imagine winning stakes and races at the caliber he's won at 60%?
No.
28% gets you in the Hall of Fame in this sport.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you, is Ben's Cat a future Hall of Famer?
I can't see how you keep a horse like Ben's Cat out of the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame... You know, we talk about this, and I talk about this on Express Sport Radio all the time. Our sport, the backbone of our sport, are the state-bred races and the claiming races. Without those, a lot of jurisdictions wouldn't be able to run in the winter, wouldn't be able to have year-round racing. Horses like him, who have done it the hard way, but have earned that reputation now, and has won all of these stakes. And people argue, well, he never won a grade one. That doesn't matter. Stakes races in the... The amounts of races he's won, the amounts of stakes, I think he's won 26 stakes races now. That's mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous how good he is.
Horses don't run 26 times. He's won 26 stakes. Yeah. How do you keep him out of the Hall of Fame?
So many trainers. A guy like King Leatherberry, who was inducted into the Hall of Fame last year, would love to win 26 stakes races in their entire career. He has one horse that's done it.
Horse, right. So, you know, and like I said, he's done it on the travel. He's done it up and down the East Coast throughout the Mid-Atlantic region. And, folk hero is probably the best way to put it. John's Call, Tommy Voss had John's Call, who won, I believe, at 9 up at Saratoga.
Yep.
And he, you know, I mean, Ben's Cat has just smashed the old god reputation and taken it now to another level as a 10-year-old, and really excited to be part of the coverage tonight. I can't wait to see him in race two.
He's the Big A, Anthony Stabile. I am the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna. We are live from Penn National Racecourse in Grantville, Pennsylvania, getting set for that $500,000 Grade 3 Penn Mile later this evening. Once again, our coverage kicking off 6 o'clock Eastern Time. Now, in terms of what you can look forward to hearing over the next couple of hours here this morning, well, we have a very busy show. We're going to be joined by Mark Cassie, at 8:35 Eastern. He'll talk to us about Catch a Glimpse and Aero Force going in the Penn Mile. We'll also touch on the Penn Oaks with Mark and maybe even look ahead to Royal Ascot with Tepin, who will be going there in just a couple of weeks. You're going to hear from Hall of Fame trainer Richard Mandela. Now, he's not participating here at Penn tonight, but he is going to be busy on the other coast at Santa Anita in Arcadia, California, as he sends out his multiple champion beholder later today, and looking forward to hearing from Richard right around 8:52 Eastern time. You're going to hear from Jenny Bowman, who is the brand new racing secretary here at Penn National, one of only four or five women to hold that position here in the United States. Looking forward to visiting with Jenny about 9 o'clock Eastern time. And then after this first commercial break, Eric Johnston, the Director of Racing Operations at Penn National, and Dr. Jerry Pack, who is the Association Veterinarian, are going to be aboard. They'll set the scene for us and help us kick off this edition of the Equine Forum from Penn National. Now, before we get to that break, I want to remind people, we do have a poll question out there for you this morning. We posted it yesterday on our ExpressBet radio program that we hosted right here at Penn National. And the poll question is pretty simple. Who's going to win today's Penn Mile? And you have four choices, and all you have to do is just click on one, and you'll cast your vote. Is it going to be Catch a Glimpse? Is it going to be Aero Force? Or is it going to be Beach Patrol? Or if you don't think it's any of those three, you can choose all others. But if you choose that one, you have to let us know who you think is going to be the horse to upset the Penn Mile later tonight. You can go there right now, at HRRN on Twitter, and cast your vote. And as of now, there are more than 70 votes in, and Catch a Glimpse, by far, the heavy favorite and winning, running away with that particular poll at the moment. Let's see if she can hold on over the next couple of hours for you here on the Equine Forum. We'll get to a break. We're back with more live from Penn. This is the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Adina Springs Stallion Awesome Again has proven to be a breed-shaping stallion, the sire of 14 Grade 1 winners.
Octave on the outside, three of them going to hit the wire together. Hysterical Lady, Ginger Punch to win it, Ginger Punch won it.
9 millionaires, including 5 multimillionaires.
Game on, dude, going to write his way into the history books. Game on, dude, and Mike Smith have won the Santa Anita Handicap.
And he remains the only Breeders' Cup Classic winner to sire a Breeders' Cup Classic winner.
Ghost Zephyr kicking clear, and Ghost Zephyr is pulling away impressively.
Awesome Again's lifetime progeny earnings are nearly $80 million, with average earnings per runner over $106,000. And he's the broodmare sire of 53 stakes winners. Sons of Awesome Again at stud in Kentucky include Ghost Sapper, Painter, and Oxbow. Learn more about Awesome Again by visiting adinastallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
A multiple graded stakes winner and earner of more than $1 million. AlterNation reeled off 4 consecutive stakes victories.
AlterNation just far too much class for this field.
AlterNation running a powerful race here.
Cannot match stride with AlterNation.
And it's a photo AlterNation.
Great breeding from a family of successful sires, grand appearance, and brilliance on the racetrack. AlterNation at Pin Oak Stud.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how do you value a horse for insurance?
Well, Mike, it's easy to value a horse when purchased out of a public auction. The insured value would simply be the auction price. But insuring homebreds can be a little more involved.
How so?
Well, factors such as a stud fee, confirmation, pedigree, sales and race records of siblings, even popularity of the stallion all come into play.
How closely do you work with owners in determining a horse's value?
Well, the owner has a pretty good idea of the horse's value. So generally, it's just a matter of agreeing to the request and having the policy issued.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Joe Brown Nicholson at NicholsonInsurance.com or call 859-224-7080. That's 859-224-7080. Nicholson Insurance Agency.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
At the top of the lane now, Rene's got Zip, No Nay Never, Casper Netchar, Gold Cap on the outside, Ageless Tight End Dimension, wide, wide open, No Nay Never getting the lead, Ageless on the outside, Tight End Touchdown at the rail, Sweet Swap running late, No Nay Never, late run, Bobby's Kitten, Bobby's Kitten, Bobby's Kitten, like a rocket out of nowhere, Bobby's Kitten, No Nay Never, they did hit it together, it's close.
Trevor Denman with the call of the 2014 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint at Santa Anita. Bobby's Kitten, a graduate of the Grade 3 Penn Mile, getting the victory that afternoon. And boy, he is one of several superstars to come through Grantville, Pennsylvania on his way to future success in the sport of thoroughbred racing. And no doubt tonight's field offers a couple of horses that you're going to hear more from up the road. Mike Penna, Anthony Stabile, back with you from Penn National Racecourse here in Grantville, and the fog now lifting from those mountains. And boy, what a spectacular setting for thoroughbred racing. You have the mountains kind of over toward the top of the stretch, and as they come up the backstretch and turn into that far turn, it's all you're looking at. They look like they're running right at the base of the mountains, and then they turn for home, and what a setting, Big A.
Yeah, absolutely gorgeous here at Penn. Like I said, my first time here, and hopefully not the last. It's a nice little racetrack. I love it up here.
2016 marks the 60-year anniversary of thoroughbred racing at Woodbine up in Canada. Now, on Sunday, June 12th, you can watch and wager on the Woodbine Oaks. Woodbine will guarantee the early and late pick four pools at $100,000 on Plate Trial Day and Oaks Day. That's the same day. And we'll be offering a special 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, Superfecta, Pick 3, and Pick 4 pools that afternoon. But that's not all. You can try your luck with the Thoroughbred Pick 5, now guaranteed at $50,000 Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays starting June 11th. And while you're at it, hey, why not give the jackpot high five a go? A wager with huge, huge potential for big pool payouts. For more information, all you have to do is visit WoodbineRacetrack.com. Well, I mentioned we would be joined by Eric Johnston and Dr. Jerry Pack. Well, Eric is off getting coffee right now, so he hasn't made it back over to the location. We'll hear from him in a little bit. But Dr. Pack is here. No coffee for you, Doc?
I had mine earlier this morning.
This is the third consecutive year we've had the privilege to do this on the show together. Thanks
Absolutely.
For being back aboard.
Absolutely. We're so glad to have you back here at our facility. It's, you know, a beautiful setting, as you said. It's a lovely place to be.
I mentioned that you are the association veterinarian here at Penn National. What does that mean?
I basically am in charge of the health and the welfare of all the horses on the backside. Now, there are three commissioned veterinarians that do work for the commission, but I work for Penn National, and they expect me to look out for the health and welfare of these horses on the backside of our racetrack.
Sounds like a full-time job.
It can get that way.
What's the key to keeping everybody happy, all the horses safe, healthy? What's the key?
The big sign is communication with everybody, trainers, veterinarians, commission. We have an open door policy. We have told our trainers and veterinarians, if there's an issue, don't let it get big. Come to us and let's resolve it as quick as we can.
Doc, you know, we were talking to Chris McElhane yesterday, and he says, you know, we're not Belmont, we're not Gulfstream. You guys do a fantastic job up here in the mountains of Grantville. As the association vet, when you're running a lot more claimers than usual, does it make your job a little tougher to make sure everybody stays happy back there?
It does, and, you know, the game's changed a lot. I've been in it very many years, and I have seen drastic changes over the years. Nowadays, I think the trainers are not quite what they used to be. But it's a tough job, but we seem to get by quite well here.
What, Doc, what's different about the policies that are in place here at Penn than maybe some other racetracks? What does Penn do differently, I guess?
We've had herpes is a big issue right now. Several years ago, in 2003, we actually had an outbreak here. We lost three horses. But at that point in time, Dr. James Summers and myself wrote a protocol for Penn National that we have adhered to very strongly, and we have been able to hold herpes into one barn when it has been on our racetrack. It's communication, and it's working together, and it's fast, fast action.
Yeah, I was going to say, that must be something you have to do immediately, right? The minute you hear the word herpes, you have to, bam, just jump into action, right?
The minute you hear neurologic, and you know, horse can there can be several diseases that cause neurologic disease, but when neurologic comes up, we're on it immediately.
And I know you. What we had a little scare tonight with the races tonight in the Mountain View. There was a little...
One horse, yeah.
Yeah, one
charitable
horse.
Annuity.
And but all good.
All good. It was very good. The veterinarian in Charlestown actually called me yesterday afternoon about 2 o'clock and said, Doc, we've got a horse that's neurologic in this barn. Don't think it's herpes, but what do you think? And immediately I said, you know, we're not going to let the horse come on our grounds. We just can't take that chance. Fortunately, they got together and they – had the horse tested yesterday, got the results last night, and the horse was negative for the herpes. So our horse will be coming in from Charlestown today.
Okay, so in terms of equine herpes, that's something that's been in the news a lot lately in the sport. Number one, how common is it? Number two, how do you treat it when you do have a horse with equine herpes?
Well, number one, it is a reportable disease, which means in several states, if you suspect it, you have to report it to the state veterinarian. At that point in time, they will usually put quarantines on the facilities and then start the testing procedure. There is no treatment other than supportive therapy for this disease. It is a virus. It is actually the rhinovirus. It causes rhinopneumonitis. It presents itself in three ways. It can be a respiratory disease. It can cause abortions in mares. And it also, the virus has mutated to the point that it attacks the central nervous system on these horses. So supportive therapy, we've actually had some that's made it through that were positive, and then we have had some that succumbed to the disease. If you follow it, Philadelphia Park was shut down for about 7 weeks.
Yeah.
With an outbreak. They had seven horses that were affected, and the virus was very virulent up there, and these horses actually died very suddenly with this disease.
How contagious is it?
It is an airborne virus. It can be transmitted from you rubbing the nose on a horse that's positive and going to another horse. You can actually transmit that virus that way. So it's pretty scary. I think we feel that the virus can travel probably 60 feet in the air. So if a horse sneezes and blows that virus out, 60 foot away is susceptible.
Yeah.
You know, Doc, you pretty much gave the rest of the jurisdictions the game plan back in 03. You very, very played an integral part in how to handle the herpes virus. The one question I had, and I haven't really been able to get a straight answer on this, I noticed most recently there was one down at Payson Park in Florida, and Hall of Famers like Bill Mott and Chuck McGahee affected. Christophe Clement has his winter string down there. I noticed that it was 3 weeks from a positive test. What happens in that 3 weeks that's defined that as the time period?
What happens, the incubation period on this disease is 7 to 10 days. And we feel that if we can go through three incubation periods with no temperatures, because the temperatures on these horses is what we call biphasic, which means that it will spike maybe morning, maybe evening. So that's very critical. You have to temp these horses twice a day to monitor it. But the feelings are, if you can go through 21 days of no temperature rises in any of your horses, that you're clear to go. And that's the guidelines that we use.
Yep.
You can also test out on the disease. The problem being is probably 99% of our horses is exposed to herpes. So there's a good possibility,
wow,
that you're going to get a positive if you test them out. It's a very, very difficult disease to deal with.
Talking with Dr. Jerry Pack, the association veterinarian here at Penn National. All right, Doc, tell me about the procedure that's in place when horses come from out of town to run here at Penn National, like we're going to see tonight with the Penn Mile.
we do have some requirements for a health certificate and a negative Coggins. Now, some facilities, some racetracks are now requiring that these horses be actually vaccinated for herpes. There is maybe some indication, but not strong, that the vaccine will protect against a neurologic disease. The feeling is if they're vaccinated and they come down with it, they're probably not going to shed as heavy a virus load as they would if they were unvaccinated.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the term negative Coggins. There's a lot of people listening going, what on earth is he talking about? Explain that.
Negative Coggins is the disease is actually called equine infectious anemia. It is transmitted by mosquitoes or by somebody using a dirty needle. It pretty well had gone away, but lately here in Pennsylvania, we've had two farms quarantined with horses that are positive for EIA or Coggins.
Okay. All right. Dr. Jerry Pack, we mentioned Eric Johnston, who is the director of racing operations here at Penn National, was going to join us, and he has gotten his coffee. He's now back here set and ready to go. What's up? Good
morning.
Nothing.
Just looking for a great day of racing, hoping that we get the clouds to burn off here in a little while. And you know, we got a chance of some scattered thunderstorms, which in Pennsylvania, anytime in June, July, and August, you got some humidity, you got some heat. You always got a possibility of thunderstorms. But I think we're going to be on a firm turf course tonight, and we're going to have a great night.
Yeah, you joined us yesterday on Express Bet Radio, which we hosted right here from Penn National. And by the way, thanks for the setup yesterday. It was tremendous. Really had a blast going through the show and hosting that race coverage. Talk to me about what we're going to see here tonight. What can folks expect when they come out to Penn National or if they're listening on the radio worldwide or even watching on TV?
I'll
give our friends at TVG a little plug, too.
Yeah, there you go. As long as you're making it to your local betting parlor or got your account set up and betting on the race, it's going to be a great experience, whether you're here or you're at home or wherever. Tonight's going to be four great races. Start off the nine-race card. We start off with the Oaks, and then we go into the Governor's Cup with Ben's Cat, and then the five-horse field in the Mountain View, and then the Penn Mile. Just a bunch of nice horses. You're going to see a lot of food venues open here this evening. You're going to see some groups out here giving out some pamphlets. You're going to see a huge crowd. We've done some changes to the setup this year. We've improved some acoustics in some general areas around the Winter Circle and around the paddock, so people in that area won't be sitting in the dark, so to speak, or in the silence of the race call. So
nice.
Hopefully it's going to be a great experience for everybody that comes out. Get here early. Bring your lawn chairs and a big thirst, a big pocket full of money, and have a great time.
We had some rain out here, Eric, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Noticed you guys were off the turf last night, but this turf course, and again, we're sitting. I could throw a football there, and I'm not in that great of shape anymore. But this turf course looks like it's in great condition for tonight.
It is. And, you know, unfortunately, with the seasons and everything else that we deal with here and the fact that we protected a little bit for the Penn Mile, we've only had three races over the course so far. We started off last Saturday evening with a Leafard Stakes that ran at a mile and a 16th for PA Breds. And we had a couple of overnight races on Wednesday and Thursday. Last night, as you mentioned, was kind of a racing anomaly. We had come off the turf and ended up with a walkover. You know, everybody loves to make history in the game, but that's not necessarily the way you want to make it. But
I can honestly say I've never seen that in person before.
Nor have I.
You hope you never see it again.
Yeah, at least not on my watch, that's for sure.
Yeah, pretty unbelievable. Eric Johnston, Director of Racing Operations here at Penn National. Dr. Jerry Pack, he is here with us as well. We are coming up to the Penn Mile later tonight. Our coverage, 6 to 8 Eastern, SiriusXM Channel 83, and, of course, streaming worldwide on our computer or on your computer, your smartphone, your tablet, whatever it might be, at horseracingradio.net through our website. I wanted to talk to you. We didn't get a chance to bring this up yesterday, but one exciting development here at Penn National is the launch of a new national ADW that you're in the process of getting off the ground. Talk to me a little bit about that, Eric.
That is correct. We're launching HollywoodRaces.com. This is going to replace our current eBet platform. We are merging over slowly. Basically, it's been a soft launch since the beginning of May, and Chris McAleen, I think, will be by a little bit later possibly to talk to you more in depth about it. But it's going to be a national platform. We're still working on some logistics on the national side. We are definitely up and running in the state of Pennsylvania. So if you have an account or if you have an address in the state of Pennsylvania and you want to get an account, just go to HollywoodRaces.com and you can sign up right on there. You can use your account while you're here at the racetrack. You can play it from your laptop, from your desktop, from your cell phone. It's got a really, really nice mobile app that's very convenient that you can play from anywhere inside the state. So it's It's a new toy. It's a new tool for everybody out there. So hopefully it'll drive some business and get some traction.
When you joined us yesterday, you also talked about a handicapping contest you're putting together here, and it's going to be pretty spectacular. You threw down the gauntlet to Big A.
You talked about a buffet.
Yeah, free buffet.
Forget about
free
the buffet. Tournament. He talked about a free buffet.
You had him at buffet.
There you go. You know, what a better deal. You get a chance to go to the NHC, or possibly could win a chance to go to the NHC, and then you get the free buffet on top of it. And we do have a spectacular buffet here. You know, I've been to a lot of racetracks and to a lot of casinos, and the folks here in our F&B department, they just do an outstanding job, from the Final Cut Steakhouse to the Mountain View Dining Room overlooking the racetrack to the buffet inside the casino. It is just phenomenal. And you catch that thing on a Saturday night. Should have been here for New Year's Eve when they had the prime rib and lobster all you could eat.
Don't forget the sports bar. Eh? One of the best cheesesteaks I ever had in my life last night. I had that thing all over my face. I looked like a complete mess last night.
We also have a very nice crab and cream cheese dip up there served with some soft pretzels.
I'll take it.
Baron is now a big fan of.
How about that? Everybody that listens to this program over the past 12, 13 years knows that I am not a seafood person by any stretch of the imagination. But we're at dinner the other night, and Eric orders an appetizer. It was the crab dip with pretzels, right? And I said, okay. He looked at me. He says, that sounds good. I said, all right, well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a seafood guy, but I will go ahead and give it a shot. And I did, and it wasn't bad.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was very good.
You know, it was about 6,000 calories per dip. But,
yeah,
you know, what
healthy.
The hell?
It wasn't healthy.
That's right up my alley, 6,000 calories. I try to stay go over 4 for everything I eat, so it's in the wheelhouse.
Exactly. Just open up the arteries and pack the cholesterol right inside directly.
Well, guys, it's going to be a tremendous night here tonight. We can't thank you enough. Doc, really, thank you for coming back on with us again, filling us in on how these things come together and how it all works. And, Eric, thanks so much for all your help, your support, your setup. This is tremendous. It's one of the best setups we have all year long.
We'll reserve the spot for you any time that you all want to come out. You know, if you're passing through and you got a Saturday evening off, just swing by, bring the equipment, and we'll have your spot set for you.
Let's do it. I just want to come by and enjoy the races. Do I have to work?
No, you can do that, too. You're more than welcome. You know, just
I'm coming for the grub.
Well, here you go. You can sit upstairs in the Mountain View. You got the machine right there at your table. Swipe on your account and play on your right at your table. You never have to move.
Yeah. By the way, I asked you for a little advice, and I asked you to help me out at the craps tables because they were kind of rough the night before. Last night, I exacted a little revenge on them. So whatever you did, those dice you gave me, they work great.
Well, I think I got those dice mixed up. They sure were supposed to use the same ones from the previous night.
That's right.
Yeah. We'll have a conversation with those folks.
Guys, thanks so much. Really appreciate everything.
Enjoy your day.
All right. Normally, we would have a little break for our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment here in this particular segment, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington. But in honor of all of our special guests here this morning, we are going to bypass the story part of that segment and bring you a word from the Lexus Store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty in Lexington, Kentucky. Nobody does it better. We're back with a short break. We'll come back. We'll visit with trainer Mark Cassie right after this on the Equine Forum.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus Store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus Store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus Store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience. On Saturday, June 4th, Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse is proud to present the fourth running of the $500,000 Grade 3 Penn Mile. Live racing action starts at 6 p.m. Eastern with an all-stakes pick four featuring the Pennsylvania Governor's Cup, the Penn Oaks, the Mountain View Stakes, and it's all anchored by the Penn Mile. Again, that's Saturday, June 6th at 6 p.m. Eastern at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse.
Pin Oak Studs, Broken Vow, ranks among the top sires in North America every year. Runners by this outstanding son of Unbridled have earned nearly $54 million and won major stakes on all surfaces from coast to coast. Sought after in the sales ring and hard to catch on the track, Broken Vow consistently has success at the highest level. Broken Vow at Pin Oak Stud.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair strips. FlairStrips.com.
Power.
A Fleet Alex strolling home in the Preakness to win by three.
Passion.
A Fleet Alex opening up with a tremendous burst of energy. He's five lengths clear at the eighth pole.
Performance.
It is Texas Red just outclassing them. Look at this for an easy one in the Breeders' Cup.
Gainesway Stallion of Fleet Alex. A champion on the racetrack, now a proven sire with 52 black type horses, 13 graded winners, 30 black type winners, and progeny earnings of $32 million. His seven Grade 1 winners include Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner Texas Red, Florida Derby hero Materiality, Travers winner of Fleet Express, and Charleray, a game winner of the Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks. On the racetrack, a Fleet Alex was a precocious two-year-old, winning his first four starts, including the Grade 1 Hopeful. At three, he dominated the Preakness and Belmont Stakes, winning by a combined 11 and three-quarter lengths. A Fleet Alex, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Alice Springs is going to try to find an opening down toward the inside in fourth. Thrilled is fifth. Harmonize is in sixth in between horses off the turn. Sapphire Kitten comes forward. Alice Springs need room. Catch a Glimpse has the lead. Ruby Notion drops back. Catch a Glimpse leading it. And Sapphire Kitten trying. Alice Springs trying. Nemeralia running late from far back. Catch a Glimpse with the lead. Nemeralia runs on from the outside. Catch a Glimpse, the leader. Catch a Glimpse, the winner for Florent Giroux. Close for second, maybe Alice Springs. If not her, it'll be Nemeralia for that runner-up spot in 1 minute, 39 seconds.
Kurt Becker with the call of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf at Keeneland last October. It was Catch a Glimpse getting the victory that afternoon. As a matter of fact, she's gotten the victory in six of her seven lifetime starts, six consecutive since being defeated in her maiden start on the main track at Saratoga last July. Mike Penna and Anthony Stabile back with you on the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment. We are coming to you trackside in Grantville, Pennsylvania at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse, getting set for the Grade 3 Penn Mile. Our coverage tonight, 6 to 8 Eastern time. The Penn Mile is set to go right around 7:40 Eastern. And in case you're wondering, Catch a Glimpse is here. She is a filly. She is taking on the boys. She's one of two horses entered in the race for trainer Mark Cassie, who also sends out Aero Force. She becomes the first Breeders' Cup winner ever to compete in the Penn Mile. Keep in mind, it's only 4 years old, but she becomes the first to do it, and she would be the first filly to win the race as well. Mark Cassie joining us now here on the Equine Forum. Mark, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Always good to catch up. Yeah, thanks for taking a few minutes here. I know it's a busy day for you. You're not going to be here in Grantville. Your son Norman will handle the assignment here for you tonight. You're a little busy getting fitted with Top Hat and Tails, from what I understand.
Yeah, today's a busy day, and we have horses kind of running everywhere. So Norman got the assignment to go there. He actually he goes there, and then on Monday he flies to England. So busy weekend, but a great. That's what you want to be. You always want to be busy on the weekends.
Do you have to have a conversation with him? I mean, I know you guys are always in constant contact, but what do you tell him when he comes on location like this and you're staying behind? I know it happens quite often with an operation that's the size of yours.
You know, it's gotten to the point now, Mike. Unless there's something special, you know, that a certain horse or whatever, we kind of, everybody knows the job they have to do, and we don't really talk a whole lot about it. Just a lot of our, you know, is getting horses everywhere and getting them around. And I've talked to, we have two of our main people there at Penn National, and they are, all systems are go, but all three horses are in good order this morning. I guess our biggest concern would maybe be a little rain.
Concern in a good way or a bad way?
I don't really think it's going to, I'm just saying it's, I guess it's supposed to rain. Now, both Aero Force and Catch a Glimpse have dealt with some softer turf, so I don't see that being a factor for them.
Mark, not only do you have the two in the big one, but the filly that starts to cut off in the Penn Oaks Conquest Serenade, she'll be making her first start on the turf, and she seemed to have really run well in her last two after catching a graded stakes winner in Go Maggie Go. What made you make the decision to try this new surface today after running so successfully on the dirt?
Well, a couple things. The first is we had trained her on the turf before she ever ran. We trained her in Ocala on the turf, and she trained extremely well. She's a half to a good turf horse, and I know she's run well on the dirt. Don't take that from her. I think she's run well. Can she move up and run on the dirt in stakes company? I'm not sure. We've been waiting for to get her on the grass, and you know what? I just kind of thought, why not now? So we're going to do it, and if she doesn't run well, then we'll retreat and go back to the dirt. But I'm hoping that she moves up on the grass. That's kind of our feeling.
Well, Conquest Serenade kicks it off for Mark Cassie here at Penn tonight. She runs in the $200,000 Penn Oaks, which is race number one. Mark, let's go back to Catch a Glimpse for just a minute. I mentioned that she's the first Breeders' Cup winner to come here and compete in the Penn Mile. She's a little bit of a quirky type of filly, though, isn't she?
Oh, most definitely. She has been since day one. But she, you know, she's always a challenge. We feel like we've learned a lot, though, and she's actually already schooled at Penn, in the paddock at Penn, and did well. So I think she'll be just fine. We've learned she loves her pony, so we send her pony with her, and as long as he's around, she seems to be happy.
Yeah, well, she's been happy, and all she does is win. What does she do that makes her a little on the quirky side?
What doesn't she do? before her last race at Churchill, we tried to school her the Tuesday before the race, and she walked on the track, walked a 16th of a mile, and stood and wouldn't move, wouldn't go either direction for 15 minutes. It held up the tractors. It took three ponies to get her to move. We took her back to the barn. We gave up trying to even make the paddock. And so then we talked about it. We said, well, what are we going to do? She runs in 3 days. If you'd asked me Tuesday, well, the day we entered her, how she was going to run Friday, I would have said, well, first we got to get her to the paddock. But, again, we took her pony, and she walked over with him. She was a perfect lady. I mean, on Oaks Day, which that's saying something.
Well, obviously, Florent Giroux really knows her extremely well. How important is it to have him aboard, knowing that she can be a little bit precarious in some of her races?
Very, very important. You know, he never loses his cool. He gets her to relax, and he knows her. You know, he knows her quirks. And I guess probably the worst she was bad at Keeneland when she won the stake before her last one. I think she unseated him in the post parade, but we learned some things there too. And so hopefully the other thing she does, as soon as she makes the lead, she pulls herself up. A lot's been said about her switching leads, and what she does is she gets the lead and kind of just starts looking. And when she does, she switches back and forth. You'll notice it looks like they're always going to get to her, but then she gallops out really well. Nobody ever passes her. That may be a little more difficult tonight, and it's one of the reasons why we're there. You know, we want to see what happens when she has to really bear down. And you know, the Penn Nationals, this is a really big night for them. And I didn't realize that we're the first Breeders' Cup horse to compete at Penn National, but hopefully we'll be the first Breeders' Cup winner to ever win at Penn National.
Mark, I noticed there's a good abundance of speed in this race tonight, at least horses that like being on the front end.
Yeah, for sure.
Like Catch a Glimpse.
Probably more so than ever. We'll see. You know, she's been relaxing a little bit the last couple times, so that's going to be Flo's job. But I think if the pace is real hot, she will relax.
I guess you don't mind if they're that quirky when you take them everywhere and they win four different racetracks. She's won on four different courses in her career.
I've trained some good fillies in my life, and most of them have their issues. This is not the first one.
You know, Aeroforce, your other entrant in the race, was probably a bit disappointed to see her show up here instead of the Penn Oaks, huh?
Well, that's what I said to everybody. You know, there was much discussion, and it really wasn't decided till late that we were going to run her against the Colts. I have to, you know, treat each horse individually, each owner individually. So I don't like to influence anyone's decision. But I said to somebody, I'm sure Aeroforce is not happy to see Catch a Glimpse there.
Talking with trainer Mark Cassie here on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mark, just give us a quick update on Teppan as she heads over to Ascot. You mentioned your son Norman would be heading over there early as well. She's going to compete in the Queen Anne at Royal Ascot on June 14th. What can you tell us about her?
Yes, she breezed yesterday, had a really breeze extremely well. Came out of it good this morning. She's bright and happy. So she goes to Lexington, I believe, on Monday, and then flies Tuesday to London, or to England.
And the champ will be representing over there, across the pond, as they like to say. By the way, how do you look in top hat and tails? Pretty good?
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, but they've taken the measurements. I get it when I get over there. I know I have a lot of people asking for pictures.
I'm sure you do. Mark Cassie here on the Equine Forum. Before I let you go, Mark, we received a message from one of our listeners when they found out you were going to be on the program. Wanted me to ask you about Thirst for Life in the opener at Churchill today.
He's a horse that has a lot of talent. Obviously, you know, that's why we ran him in the stake first time. He dwelt at the start. We've spent some time with him at the gate, and he's training well. Both those horses we have in the first are nice horses. I'm just hoping the rain holds off there too. I hate running 2-year-olds on a sloppy track, so we're hoping the rain holds off.
He's Mark Cassie, nobody better. He's represented by Catch a Glimpse and Aeroforce in tonight's Grade 3 $500,000 Penn Mile. You'll hear it right here exclusively on the Horse Racing Radio Network, 6 to 8 Eastern Time, SiriusXM 83 and horseracingradio.net. Mark, really appreciate it. We'll let you go. Safe travels to England if I don't talk to you, and good luck over there, and good luck tonight, by the way.
Thank you. Have a good night. Bye.
All right, Mark Cassie.
Thanks, Mark.
Like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com.
That's trust in the son. My mom didn't let me go buy a container of milk till I was 14 years old. He's sending this guy to Penn National with Catch a Glimpse and to England with Teppan.
She knew what was going to happen. If she sent you to the grocery store, she knew what was going to happen.
I couldn't buy a loaf of bread and a container of milk till I was 14.
I'm telling you, she didn't want you going to the grocery store with any kind of money in your pocket because she knew that there was going to be no money left when you came out of the grocery store.
How about that?
No offense.
How about that embarrassment of riches, by the way? Teppan's 5 years old, getting a little long in the tooth. Oh, we're just going to slot Catch a Glimpse in here, and we'll see you guys for the next 2 years and ruin everybody's life that has a filly that can run on the turf. We'll just keep trouncing everybody with these two fillies. Unbelievable. And you think about it, he's had a lot of fillies in his career, but this is a pretty potent 1-2 punch. Teppan and Catch a Glimpse just following right behind.
Yeah, he said that not only is she quirky, but she likes to do her own thing. She likes to be in charge. So as Florent Giroux said, his job is just to keep her happy. And for all the married guys out there, you know exactly what that quote is all about.
You don't have to be married. I've been with my girlfriend for 9 years, and that's all I want. She's home. She's back in the hotel sleeping right now. I didn't bring her out this morning. Yeah, you know, and that one, the one thing he talked about with her pulling herself up on the lead, I wouldn't be too surprised if they switch tactics up a little bit tonight. There's some speed in that race. Maybe they just try to make the one run. That mile is really what she wants to do, I think. I think she's going to be awful tough. I went to the poll on HRRN, who's going to win the Penn Mile tonight. I waited because I wanted everybody to get the picks last night in the Express Pit Weekend Stakes Preview, and you can go over to the website and listen to the podcast when we wrap up at 10 o'clock. Ella Starr and I preview 9 stakes, including all 4 here at Penn tonight, but I think she's going to be awfully, awfully tough to beat in the end of the night.
Yesterday, Richard Mandela, the Hall of Fame trainer who sends out Beholder at Santa Anita later this afternoon, took the time to join us on Express Bet Radio. You're going to hear what Richard had to say about the champ when we come back on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Triple Crown.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, the most expensive yearling from the great Pioneer of the Nile's debut crop and a top-class juvenile winning the Grade 2 Nashua before his memorable battle with the Clips Champion Honor Code in the Remsen. At 3, Cairo Prince was simply sensational in the Grade 2 Holy Bull Stakes, making him the early book favorite for the Kentucky Derby.
Cairo Prince has run away! Cairo Prince and Luis Saez with an emphatic win in the Holy Bull!
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince. Think about it.
A multiple Grade 1 winning millionaire sprinter.
It's going to be very close at the finish, and here's the wire. It's Palace, the winner.
The best son of leading sire City Zip.
And it will be Palace, the winner by 3/4 of a length. And Palace dazzles here and wins by 3.5 lengths.
Palace, new for 2016 at Spendthrift Farm. Visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Cyrus Alexander has the lead from Shotgun Cowboy, and Cyrus Alexander is drawing clear to become a graded winner here under Martin Garcia.
Cyrus Alexander captured the Grade 3 Lone Star Park Handicap on Memorial Day. The son of Darley stallion Medaglia d'Oro recorded his fourth lifetime victory for Hall of Fame trainer Jerry Hollendorfer, making him your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Cyrus Alexander became the ninth stakes winner for Darley stallion Medaglia d'Oro this year. Medaglia d'Oro is also the sire of 2016 Grade 1 winner and last year's Eclipse Champion two-year-old filly Songbird, and Miss Shawish, a Grade 1 winner this year, now a winner at the highest level on both dirt and turf. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Beholder, cruising to the quarter pole, in front by a half length. My Monet is trying to keep pace. Warren's Vanita swings into action. It's Beholder. Warren's Vanita's firing a big shot on the outside. These two square off at the eighth pole. Beholder now just gets a nudge. Gary Stevens puts the whip in his left hand, but Beholder is still cruising. Warren's Vanita, as honest as they come, but Beholder is simply in another league. And it's going to be Beholder to score in the adoration. Warren's Vanita was very valiant in defeat. Then it was My Monet, a distant third, wild in the saddle fourth.
Frank Miramati with the call of the Adoration Stakes at Santa Anita. Beholder, so impressive in her 2016 return to the races. Her first start since winning the Zenyatta at Saratoga at Santa Anita prior to last year's Breeders' Cup. And yesterday, Hall of Fame trainer Richard Mandela took the time to join us on Express Bet Radio. And here's what he had to say about the relationship that he has developed with Beholder.
Obviously very rewarding. And they do become part of your life after the years that we spent. We've had horses like that in the barn before, Sand Pit and Siphon and Region and some old horses like that, but never a mare like this that came in and stayed so good. So I don't think anybody ever had one, maybe somewhere in history, but there sure weren't many that ever had one like her, I'll tell you that.
What makes her so special?
Well, the first thing is she can run like hell. That's the obvious. But she's also a very, has a lot of strong character. Some of it not good. She's kind of a beast once in a while. But 90% of the time, she's just the sweetest thing you could have.
What's the feeling like when you finally get her back to the races? You've had to do this a few times now, bring her back from a layoff. What's that feeling like when she goes to the post off of that layoff for the first start back?
Well, anytime you've had one off and you make your comeback, you can train all you want and brag about that. But when it comes to racing, you have to do it on the racetrack. And you always worry that they're going to have the same desire and be able to do it as well as they did before. But she has always done that, and maybe you could even say she improves a little bit every year.
So the months from the Zenyatta, when she won the Zenyatta last September and then came back in the Adoration, I know you were pointing for the Breeders' Cup. That obviously didn't work out. Very disappointing there. What was it like after that Breeders' Cup and going down this road to getting her back again?
It's actually a pleasure. You know, probably a lot of horse trainers would tell you the most pleasure is training them in the morning and and just being around them and trying to develop them, racing's pretty stressful. So at least you can enjoy the morning. So we surely got to do that and watch her get back in shape, and her first works were pretty good, and then she got really good, and then she got super and ran like it, and we're hoping she just takes another step forward here tomorrow.
Yeah, not an easy task tomorrow either, but she's answered the bell every time you sent her out. Size up the competition for me. Talk to me about that Vanity Mile.
Well, Stellar Wind is a champion three-year-old filly, almost won the Breeders' Cup last year. She's grown into a four-year-old mare this year. So, you know, who knows? Maybe she's going to be the real thing. I take that back. She is the real thing. It's just a matter of how good at this point, and who knows?
All right, Richard Mandela joining us yesterday on ExpressBet Radio. He's right. I mean, who knows how good Stellar Wind could be, but we know how good Beholder is, Big A. She has been brilliant, and she hopes to continue her brilliance later this afternoon at the Great Race Place.
Especially at Santa Anita, Mike. You know, she's nearly unbeatable at Santa Anita, so much so that a grade one winner like Taris looks like she's going to come out of there. Simon Callahan has not officially taken her out yet, but it looks like she will come out and wait to run against the boys in the Triple Bend. That's unheard of.
Yeah.
You're going to avoid a filly to run against the Colts.
Yeah, but she's no ordinary filly.
No, absolutely not. But
she's a mare now, of course.
It's just something that we don't do in the United States.
Right.
It just doesn't get done.
Right. Well, when
it's
you
getting
have
done
a,
now.
How much respect does that show Beholder?
An incredible amount of respect. It's not like it's a 12-horse field either today. It's a pretty small field,
yeah.
Six or seven. I think there's seven in there. If she comes out at six, I mean, it's amazing that you just – avoiding the champ.
And I loved what Mandela said about the relationship, you know, how they do get to know each other very well. They become very close. I mean, heck, she's a six-year-old mare. He's had her in the barn. He knows her inside and out. She knows him. He's told me that in the past. I mean, this is a relationship now, and that's why they're able to have so much success together, because they do know each other so well.
When I was younger, I was around a horse named Please the Palate. My dad had him for a couple of years. I used to walk him without a shank. He couldn't outrun me down a hill. So imagine when they're as talented as Beholder is, to have her around for 5 years. I love Please the Palate, but he couldn't outrun me down a hill. I mean, when they're at the top of the game and they take you to levels in that rarefied air, just imagine what that – I can't even imagine what that relationship is like.
All right, don't forget our coverage of the Penn Mile tonight, live from Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Our poll question is out there now at HRRN on Twitter. It's pretty simple. Who is your pick to win tonight's Penn Mile? And here's your choices. You have Catch a Glimpse, you have Aeroforce, Beach Patrol, or All Others. And if you choose that one, you need to let us know who your selection is that can upset the Penn Mile tonight. Catch a Glimpse, currently the leader with 42%. Beach Patrol, second at 26%. Aeroforce, third with 20%. And All Others at 12%. Don't forget that when you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network, every time we're on the air with a race broadcast, you can play the Twin Spires HRRN bet back. And tonight you can do it on the Penn Mile. You have until post time of the Penn Mile, which is 7:40 Eastern, to make your selection. And here's the way it works. You go to twinspires.com/HRRN. You're going to make a $7 win bet and a $7 show bet on one horse in tonight's Penn Mile. That's a $14 total wager. If your horse ends up finishing worse than third, you're going to lose your $14. But guess what? It doesn't matter, because Twin Spires will refund the entire $14 wager right back into your account. So it's a no-risk $14 bet on tonight's Penn Mile. Give it a shot. twinspires.com/HRRN. We're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification. When we come back, we'll be joined by Jenny Bowman, the brand new racing secretary here at Penn National. Stay with us. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together, and Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby!
Brody's Paws at the 16th pole, chased by Kerry Wine. My man Sam running huge from last, but Brody's Paws in front. Brody's Paws for Luis Saez to win the Toyota Bluegrass.
And it's Mohamed who has taken the lead on the outside. Mohamed to the front, pulling away from Zulu Fellowship is third as Mohamed pulls away.
But Exaggerator is finishing with conviction this afternoon. Exaggerator, an absolutely brilliant victory in the Santa Anita Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Anthony Stabile.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, hour number two, rolling on a very busy morning, live from Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse in Grantville, Pennsylvania. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for Jude Feld this morning. He'll be back with me next week from Big Sandy, Belmont Park in Elmont, New York, as we bring you exclusive coverage of the final leg of the Triple Crown here on the network. You can go to our website, horseracingradio.net, to learn more about next Saturday's coverage. Of course, we're back this afternoon, 6 to 8 Eastern time, to bring you coverage of the Grade 3 $500,000 Penn Mile, the fourth running, coming up on the network later tonight. And you can tune in Sirius XM Channel 83 and worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Big A horses still training here at Penn, and they're doing it at the foothills of those outstanding mountains here in the Shenandoah Valley. It is truly spectacular. The fog that we had when we came on the air at 8 o'clock Eastern has lifted. It is a fast track. The turf course expected to be firm for tonight's four stakes races. Boy, what a setting. What a great place to be.
Yeah, it's great. I'm appreciative that we are under an awning, if you will. So the Big A is out of the sun right now. Not starting to melt like frosty the snow.
There is no sun. It's still
coming.
Light
it's
gray,
coming.
Cloudy skies.
It's coming. Trust me. By the time we go off the air, the sun will be out.
Okay. And you don't do well, right? You typically walk around with
I
a
wash
towel.
Out. I wash out. I do wash
You've
out.
You've lost a little weight, though. Seriously, we joke around. You're the
I'm
big
fading
guy.
Away. I'm fading away to a ton, Mike.
I tell
yeah.
people you're, what, 400 pounds, but you've lost some weight. Are you under 400 now?
Yeah, well under 400.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a haircut this week, so.
That's it. But then I took you out for the Philly cheesesteak here at the casino last night, and that kind of...
Real deal. Holy field,
yeah, we
man.
Went to the Hershey Chocolate Factory yesterday, by the way.
You're an enabler.
Yeah.
Having shooting crap, smoking cigars, it's just terrible. My mom told me to stay away from people like you.
Jenny Bowman is the new racing secretary here at Penn National. She started at the beginning of May. She takes over for retired racing secretary Dave Bailey, who has been a mainstay on this program for the past couple of years. But, Jenny, I got to tell you, first of all, much easier on the eyes than Dave. So happy to have you on board.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, nice to have you here with us. And, boy, first of all, you have to be thrilled with the way that this card came together. And the Penn Mile attracting Catch a Glimpse and Aero Force and Beach Patrol, really solid race. Well done.
Yes, absolutely. Really thrilled with the horses and horsemen that are coming here today to participate. Just awesome talent, and can't wait to see tonight.
You might be the new racing secretary, but you are no stranger to being around the racetrack. What's your background?
Well, I really started from the ground up. Horses have always been a part of my life, and in 1996, I was a hot walker here in the stable area and worked my way up to pony girl, exercise rider, groom, and started working for the company here at Penn National in 2005 as an outrider. And in 2007... got into the racing office as an entry clerk and bookkeeper, and started doing all the jobs associated with the racing office, paddock judge, placing judge, horse ID, and then became assistant racing secretary for Dave Bailey in November of 2012.
That has to be a big advantage, too, knowing all the different aspects of the sport. When you're talking to different horsemen about coming here to race in your races, that has to be a huge advantage.
Yes, I think knowing how all the parts work together really helps give me a perspective to help the horsemen and to understand what the horsemen are going through. I know what it takes to get a horse to perform because that's something that I deal with even today. I have my own horses at home and for pleasure, and so I just really understand how it all works.
How many horses?
Five.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Well, that's got to keep you busy when you're away from here.
Yeah, it's really something unique about having a full-time job at a racetrack and balancing all the other parts of your life. And horses are part of my life outside of racing.
Retired racehorses?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I've had, growing up, that's all I've really ridden after, I've had my first couple ponies, and I had... racehorses from the track all my life, so I just it's just been a part of my life all the time. So
that's what I was going to ask. Were you a fan of the sport growing up? Did you ride?
Oh, yes. I was in Pony Club, which kind of sounds funny, but it's really a great program for youth, and that really helped teach me everything about horses. And my father and grandfather were in the breeding business here before I was born, so it's just been a constant in my life. So I like to say I'm here for the horses, because that's, really what it's all about.
Yeah.
So.
This is the second weekend in a row somebody's brought a Pony Club to me. I was hosting breakfast at Belmont last weekend, and a couple of young ladies had their daughters there, and
yeah.
I offered to do some speaking for them. They're going to bring the whole group out to Belmont. Love getting the young people out here. Mm-hmm. And, the second week in a row I heard Pony Club. I never knew it existed.
Yeah.
I would have been part of Pony Club. The horses are probably happy I wasn't part of Pony Club, but...
Very happy.
Very happy. I was a buck 80 when I was 8, so, I've been the big A since birth.
Jenny Bowman, the new racing secretary here at Penn National Racecourse, joining us on the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jenny, the biggest challenge to you in this new position has been what?
I think just trying to wrap my head around all the new responsibilities. Until you're really in that position, you kind of really don't understand what kind of pressures could come with the job. But I'm really looking forward to gaining new experience in this position and making connections to horsemen outside of Penn National and just continuing my career here at Penn National.
You hear the term racing secretary, and there's mm-hmm. a lot of people that are listening that might not understand. I mean, we know how it
right.
works. We know what the job of a racing secretary is, obviously. But for people that aren't involved with the sport, sometimes they hear these terms mm-hmm. and they really don't know. What's the job of a racing secretary?
So a racing secretary is responsible for writing the condition book, making the racing program for the horsemen to enter their horses into, riding different races that fit the horses here in the stable area. And closing those entries are sometimes a little difficult, and getting enough horses to fill the card, but that's just something that comes with the territory. And, I'd love to help put on a great racing program here. And also another responsibility is working with the horsemen in the stable area and, making sure that they're happy and that, if I can meet their needs, that, if it's possible to do that, I will. So
how much has your experience on the backstretch helped you now as the racing secretary?
Oh, I think tremendously, because I think I'm getting some appreciation from the horsemen that I have this position now, that they know where I've come from and that I'm going to understand maybe their kind of plight in certain areas, and what they have to face. So, I just think that it really helps me, to understand how it all works. So,
I started the interview mentioning the fact that you are just one of 4 or 5 female racing secretaries in the sport today. Now, we always talk about female trainers, and we say, "Hey, you know what? They're trainers. They're not female trainers. They're horse trainers."
Right.
How about for you? What's it mean though to be in this position as a female?
Well, I take pride in it, in that, this is a position that not many females fill, and but I also kind of feel that it's pretty natural, just for me personally, that I kind of came to be here in this position. Also I don't take it lightly, that it's, a lot of responsibility, and I just admire, George Ann Hale, Allison DeLuca, and what they've done already in their own jurisdictions, and I think, it's wonderful that a woman has that those opportunities.
A bit appropriate that Catch a Glimpse comes to take on the boys.
Yeah, do you have something to do with that?
No, but I am rooting for her. I think it's wonderful. So.
Girl power.
Yeah.
Girl power, exactly.
Here at Penn tonight. Is there an extra sense of pride, maybe, because you're doing this at in your home track, in your home area?
Yes, I mean, I grew up in this area, and I do take pride in the fact that I kind of almost represent, people here, and that I just hope that I can do a good job in my position now. So,
as a horsewoman, make it easier to deal with the guys and gals on the backstretch a little better?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I have a good camaraderie with most people here, and I think they respect me and I respect them. And so it does make it really an easy transition just to be able to communicate and talk with everybody. So,
do you ever take the time to just sit back and think about where you are now and when you started in the game and where you came from? Do you ever?
Yeah.
Do you?
I do, because
what goes through your mind?
Well, because I never really thought that I would be kind of going the direction I am now, you know, at a younger age, because I was just so all about the horses, and that was my life. And I thought, well, I'd just be working with horses, you know, exclusively. I still am, but, you know, a different capacity. And so I'm pretty grateful that I got this opportunity from Eric Johnston and Penn National to be able to take on this role. And I take a lot of pride in it. So,
did you ever think about doing anything else at any point in your life?
No, the only thing that ever crossed my mind when I was younger was maybe like marine biology, because I like the ocean too. But I mean, horses just really, that's all I ever really thought about mostly. So.
Talk about a contrast.
I was
going
to say, you're going to have to settle for the horses, because we're a long way from the Atlantic.
Well, that's kind of the thing. You know, I knew I was never really going to stray far from this area because I love it so much. So horses won.
All right. So we talked about some of the challenges that you've faced already in mm-hmm. kind of getting used to this position, getting your feet wet, and getting everything all together. Mm-hmm. How about the challenges that you face at a track like Penn? Mm-hmm. You're not at Belmont Park. You're not at a Churchill Downs or Gulfstream. But you're at Penn. It's a smaller racetrack,
right.
Kind of a little bit more remote. What are some of those challenges in terms of attracting horses here?
Well, I think it's difficult to attract horsemen to Penn National because, you know, it doesn't provide or offer the same kind of features that, you know, other the racetracks do in the area. And so the difficulty would be making it appeal to the horsemen, and you know, and I think if we show,
how do you do that?
If we show, show that we support racing, that you know, we're about the horsemen, and you know, we want to make it a good experience for them, that hopefully they will, you know, realize that and want to come. So,
and cards like tonight have to help. You might, you know, people will look at the card and they might say you lack quantity, but you certainly don't lack quality tonight. You got four really solid stakes races. You got the great Ben's Cat, the incomparable Ben's Cat,
awesome
coming
Ben's
on
Cat,
up.
Awesome Ben's Cat, yeah.
So that got to help, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, great quality tonight, and that should say something for, you know, what we're able to put on here. So,
Jenny Bowman, the racing secretary here at Penn National Race Course. We started the interview at Big A and I did anyways, talking about our trip to Hershey, Pennsylvania yesterday. We got a chance to make our own chocolate bar as well. You pick out different ingredients, they make it for you.
Awesome.
The whole nine yards. Yeah, I went with caramel? No,
butterscotch chips,
Rice Krispies, and cookie crumbles or something.
The chocolate cookie pieces, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was your first one, so you went amateur and went three. I took the chocolate cookie pieces out, and I just went with the crunch.
Yeah.
Butterscotch chip.
Have you ever been
bar.
Down here and made your own candy bar?
Well, I never made my own candy bar, but been to Hershey Chocolate World. It's been probably quite a few years, but so I haven't experienced all their new attractions lately.
What's that roller coaster over there? So the super duper looper.
Well, that's
that
one of the older ones.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the new one.
Yeah.
The one that like drops vertically that I would never get on.
She's she's a racing secretary and has five horses at home. The roller coasters have to be the last thing on Jenny's mind.
Well, growing up, I never really did roller coasters, but I have a 12-year-old daughter and she's kind of getting into roller coasters now, so I'm kind of forced to go on some of the tamer ones. But
what's your favorite Hershey chocolate?
Hershey chocolate. I have to say the Hershey bar.
Yeah.
The plain Hershey bar.
It's solid.
Yeah.
Might as well ask her to name her favorite horse.
What's
that she owns. That's impossible to answer.
Yeah.
It's
all great.
It's impossible to answer.
They're all great.
I got
they
my picture taken in front of the peppermint patty wall that they have there yesterday, the York peppermint patties.
I still don't get that. I won't even eat the York peppermint patty. And if I'm passing stuff up, you know there's a problem, man.
Yeah, but you like the peanut butter cups, right? The Reese's peanut butter cups, which I can't stand.
Those are good, too.
I'm 7%. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
What's the other 93%?
Mostly mozzarella and dough. Some Jack Daniels, too.
Yeah. Well, Jenny, look, you've broken your maiden here on the Horse Racing Radio Network this morning. Yeah.
First out winner here.
Won by a pole. Yeah. It was really a walkover. Yeah. We appreciate the time. Great job with the program here tonight. Great job with everything here at Penn. Keep it rolling, and congratulations on the new position.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me again.
Right. And Jenny, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll get you the gift and send that down to you. So thank you.
Great. Appreciate it.
All right, Jenny Bowman here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back with our Blood Horse News update and continue to talk more about the Penn Mile right here on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Justin Phillip, a blue blood sprinter whose first crop had been highly acclaimed at the sales by the exciting young sire First Samurai and a half-brother to three other graded stakes winners, including Algorithms and Grade 1 winning Kentucky Derby prospect Greenpoint Crusader. Justin Phillip made 32 lifetime starts, 23 in graded stakes, with 9 fire speed figures of 100 or better.
And Justin Phillip will do it! He was a monster in the mud!
And Justin Phillip will prove best in the Cal Fleet Sprint.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by 2.
With first crop foals bringing up to $110,000 at the 2015 fall sales, Justin Phillip had a weanling sales average of more than $50,000, and he stands for a value price stud fee of only $5,000. Justin Phillip at Castleton Lions. Are you a believer? Visit CastletonLions.com.
And they're off to New York. The premier state bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Claiborne Farm is proud to offer the regally bred Orb. The son of Malibu Moon compiled a 5-race winning streak that included the Fountain of Youth and Florida Derby. In the Kentucky Derby, he defeated rivals Will Take Charge, Oxbow Golden Sense, and Palace Malice. Now the millionaire racehorse is garnering big checks for breeders as the leading first crop covering sire and leading first crop weanling sire of his class. Now is the time to book your mare to Orb at Claiborne Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Racing fans, be sure to join us on track this Saturday for a pair of prestigious $400,000 stakes, the Grade 1 Vanity Mile and the Grade 1 Shoemaker Mile on turf. Come see three-time Eclipse Champion Beholder as she'll be center stage in the Vanity with her ultimate objective this year, an engagement with the boys in the $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic at Santa Anita in November. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Ramsey Farms, Kitten's Joy. Kitten's Joy.
Stephanie's Kitten and Erod Ortiz Jr. for America in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf.
A champion sire and producer of three Grade 1 winners in 2015.
Chiropractor March on Chiropractor in a driving finish here over March.
With more than $11 million in progeny earnings this year.
Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrell.
Super Saver wins the Derby for Tom Pletcher and for Calvin Burrell. Burrell's third win in the Kentucky Derby.
You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Ben's Cap traveling in fourth, just behind that second group. 21 and 2 was an opening quarter miles. They swing into the stretch now. Rocket Heat is the leader by 3 lengths and Spring to the Sky the outside. Rapid Den, Ben's Cat saving all the ground, is trying to charge from fourth of the furlong left to go. 44 second half mile. Rocket Heat is the leader. Rocket Heat up top, Spring to the Sky. Ben's Cat surging late. Can Ben's Cat get there? Here comes the Cat. The Cat surges through. Oh, 2016 is a year of the Cat. He's 10. He's better than ever. And it's Ben's Cat in the Jim McKay Tour Sprint. Fifth Jim McKay Tour Sprint for the remarkable Ben's Cat.
Well, if you don't get goosebumps hearing that call from Dave Rodman, you might not be a racing fan. Ben's Cat, 10-year-old, back in action later tonight after winning, as you just heard, his fifth Jim McKay Turf Sprint the day before the Preakness Stakes this year. And Anthony, I have to tell you, I sat there on the roof, right, which was our broadcast position. I'm looking down at the turf course, great vantage point, and I'm watching this, and I'm saying, there's no way. There's a 16th of a mile left to go. There's no way he's going to win. But I knew better because I thought the same thing the year before when he surged to win it, and somehow he finds a way to get to the winner's circle.
Yeah, it's Ben's Cat. There's no other way. There's no other way to really put it. We were covering Express Bet Radio, and he looks hopelessly beaten, and he doesn't get beat. That's it. He gets there. 10 years old. Unbelievable.
Making his 56th start here at Penn later this evening. You want to make sure you tune in for that race because it is going to be outstanding. It is the second race on the program tonight. Keep in mind, the four stakes races we're going to have for you are races 1 through 4. There's an all-stakes pick 4 that you can bet. And the reason that they run them is the first four races. Number one is shelf space. That's part of it, because this way they can get the simulcast signal out there at a reasonable time from 6 to 8 Eastern. The second reason is because there's no lights on the turf course here. There are lights on the main track, but there are no lights on the turf course. So by 8 o'clock Eastern, it's starting to get kind of dark. So they're going to run the Penn Mile, 7:40 Eastern, should be fine and ready to go. But that's the other reason they do it is 1 through 4.
Yeah, I mean, the lights are they're ample here, more than adequate, but a little tough getting into that turf course later on in the card. And yeah, you know, I think it's a good thing to run these races earlier. You're trying to fight for that wagering dollar, and I think the earlier, especially on a Saturday night, the earlier you're running your stakes, the better.
It is time now for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Grade 1 winner Mishawish has been retired. Multiple Grade 1 winner Mishawish retired from racing after a minor soft tissue injury was discovered June 3rd at Belmont Park. After conferring with veterinarians, the team of owner Al Shakab Racing determined that it was in the best interest of Mishawish for him to be retired, since the timing would likely call for the son of Medaglia d'Oro to miss the key prep races leading up to this year's end goal, the Breeders' Cup Classic. Mishawish will now be sent to his new home at TaylorMade Stallions in Nicholasville, Kentucky, where he's set to stand stud in 2017. For more industry news and headlines, you can head on over to BloodHorse.com and remember to check out BloodHorse Daily, briefing you on important breeding, racing, and sales news. Sign up today to have a PDF emailed to you in a daily newsletter or download the app on your smartphone today. It's BloodHorse.com/daily. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, Anthony Stabile, the Big A, sitting in for the Pontiff this morning. We are trackside in Grantville, Pennsylvania at Penn National Racecourse. We've talked in depth with several of our special guests about the Grade 3 Penn Mile coming up later tonight and the four-stake program here at Penn. It's a racetrack that has an awful lot of history to it. They've been racing here for quite some time now, and setting, as we told you as we came on the air, is spectacular with the mountains in the background. They are celebrating their 44th season of racing here this year. Opened in 1972 and nestled in the hills of central Pennsylvania, this one-mile course, really just spectacular. The turf course is 7 furlongs. That's where we're going to see 3 of the 4 stakes races contested later tonight.
So, yeah, for the Penn Mile, as well as the Penn Oaks, they'll start at the 8th hole And again, a perfect spot for us tonight. They'll start a little up the stretch. We are right on the finish line. I mean, dead on the line. I don't think it gets better than our spot at Saratoga, but they spoil us here at Penn National.
Speaking of a New York track in Saratoga, we're going to be back there later this summer for our Saturdays at Saratoga series, which is all presented by visitbarbados.org. You want to make sure you take a look at Barbados when you're looking at your vacation plans. Visitbarbados.org, also the title sponsor of our Belmont Stakes undercard coverage next Saturday here on the network, which begins 2 o'clock Eastern time. We'll take you all the way through the final leg of the Triple Crown in the Belmont Stakes, but we begin at 2 o'clock Eastern. And, Anthony, when you think about that undercard that we're going to see next Saturday, absolutely spectacular. And we want to thank Breeders' Cup for their support as well. They're involved with that coverage next Saturday. And two Breeders' Cup winning your in races on the program.
Yeah, one of them, the Met Mile, was a race that M. Shawish was supposed to run in. Todd Pletcher had a three-headed monster headed towards the Met Mile. He'll only have two now, Anchored Down and Blofeld, still on target for the Met Mile. But yet, including the Belmont Stakes, 10 stakes in all, over $10 million on the line. I think it's $8 million on the line next weekend.
Yeah, it's just
a crazy number like that.
Yeah. And they've done that. They've tried to package these Super Saturdays together. We see it a lot in New York now. A lot of tracks do the same kind of thing. But, you think about the star power we're going to have on the equine and the human side next Saturday in New York. Spectacular.
A who's who of equine and humans alike will be at Belmont Park, my favorite racetrack. My favorite race of the year is the Belmont Stakes. Stradivari, from speaking of Todd Pletcher, announced as a full-time go yesterday. So a little pace finally signed on to the test of the champion. And, of course, that field will be led by Exaggerator, your Preakness winner, Kentucky Derby runner-up. And you know what I wonder, Mike? I wonder if an Exaggerator win can start a little bit of a tug-of-war for that three-year-old Eclipse Award. I know the Derby carries a lot of weight.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt, right?
But I think that starts a little bit of a tug of war.
Oh, I don't think it might even make him the leader in the clubhouse.
Could be.
Because if he wins two out of the three Triple Crown races, I mean, I understand Nyquist took the Derby, and that's a big deal. But the Preakness and the Belmont are a pretty big deal, too. And if you win two out of the three, I think he's the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah, they'd be two. They'd each have two wins against each other. No, well, he wouldn't be beating him here, so it'd be 2-1 this year. It would make for a very interesting summer and fall.
Yeah,
as far as the three-year-old picture goes.
And how good if all this holds together? All right, let's take a look at what we could be looking at up the road. We mentioned our Saturdays at Saratoga coverage. Well, that's all going to be highlighted by the Traverse Stakes at the end of August. Could you see if we get Nyquist, right, who I believe is going to point for that position? If we have Exaggerator going in there. You throw in Kieran back into the mix.
Mulhamin will likely go Jim Dandy Travers.
Yep.
Unified's a three-year-old who has not rattled any cages on the Triple Crown Trail yet, but he's going to run in the Long Branch on Sunday, June 19th, it looks like, for Jimmy Jerkins and Centennial Farms. That's the traditional prep on the Jersey Shore for the Grade 1 Haskell. I'll be there with Acacia Courtney covering the Haskell later on this summer. I believe it's July 31st.
Yep.
Sunday, July 31st. So that should be a fun day. Yeah, we have a lot to look forward to. A lot of people talk about this three-year-old crop and don't think very highly of it. I think we have a nice contentious group. I think we're going to see quite a few turf horses as well come out of this group. You know, I think when you have a lot of late running horses like we have in this crop that are talented, turf sort of lends itself a little more to that running style. I think we're going to see quite a few really nice turf horses come out of this crop. But with that said, you know, you have Dirt Roses. Creator is an interesting one going to the Belmont for Steve Asmussen. Erato T. Jr. is going to pick up the call. Erato, of course, was one of the finalists for the Eclipse Award last year, knocking heads with Javier Castellano and Victor Espinoza. You know, one guy a two-time Eclipse Award defending champion. The other guy won the Triple Crown. So he was going to finish third in that fight. But a local rider has won a ton of races at Belmont Park. He picks up the mount. He's an interesting one. He got wiped out, all but wiped out in the Derby. And, you know, Son of Tappet, 2014 Tonalist was the Son of Tappet and got the job done. So it's an interesting bunch going to this Belmont Stakes, and I'm looking forward to it next week.
There's a lot of great storylines. And you mentioned Stradivari for trainer Todd Pletcher, who, of course, is owned by the Tabors, and Michael Smith going to race in those familiar colors. Well, we also have a son of Curlin, an exaggerator, who is going to be the likely favorite. You remember it was 2007 when Steve Asmussen sent Curlin off of the Preakness win to the Belmont Stakes. He was going to square off with the filly, Rags to Riches. It was one of the more thrilling Belmont Stakes that we've had the opportunity to be part of here on the network. It was our very first national broadcast here on HRN. And to have a race like that where the filly, Rags to Riches, beats Curlin, and now Rags to Riches, of course, owned by the Tabors and trained by Todd Pletcher. It was the same connections as Stradivari. So now you get Stradivari maybe trying to knock off another son of Curlin now, right, in the same colors yeah. as Rags to Riches. That, to me, is a pretty cool storyline, too.
She's getting her own race this week as well in the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival. The Rags to Riches Invitational makes it the 3 mile-and-a-half races in 3 days. It's a mile and a half for fillies and mares. You, have, of course, have the Brooklyn on the Belmont undercard for yep. the older horses and, of course, the test of the champion. So 3 mile-and-a-half races. I love the distance races. I'm looking forward to those races next week.
So here's what I have in terms of the probables for the Belmont. Now, correct me if I'm leaving a couple of horses okay. out that may have come in the last day or so that I didn't catch, but Brody's Cause and Cherry Wine for Dale Romans, both supposed to come back in the Belmont Stakes. You mentioned Creator for Steve Asmussen. Todd Pletcher with Stradivari and Destin both pointing for the race. Exaggerator for, of course, Keith DeSormo. Governor Malibu, a newcomer to the Triple Crown for Christophe Clement. You have our old friend Lonnie, who is still hanging in there and battling away. Mikio Matsunaga is the trainer of Lonnie. And then sudden breaking news for Donnie Von Hemel. A lot of people thinking, okay, he bypassed the Preakness. He has the perfect style for the Belmont because he makes that one big run. He can really finish. I'm not sold that that's the formula for success, especially in this year's Belmont Stakes, where you don't have a lot of early speed from the names I just mentioned.
I wonder if the lack of early speed, you could also add Trojan Nation, by the way, he was confirmed yesterday, the maiden who was off the board in the Derby, he's going to run, and Wild About Deb is on the fence for Phil D'Amato for local owner Marissa Lizza. Sudden breaking news gets a rider change to Hall of Famer Mike Smith. Mike, of course, won the Belmont Stakes in 2010 with Drosselmeyer. I wonder if the lack of pace naturally gets sudden breaking news a little closer to the action early on. And I wonder if Mike takes things into his own hands and maybe...
Well, there's nobody better than Mike Smith on a horse with this style, right?
Yeah, forces the issue a little bit, just gets him a little closer. You know, look, Louis Quinones is a good rider. I bet my money 1,000 times on Louis Quinones. I have no problem with it, but Mike knows that track. Mike won a lot of races at Belmont Park. You know, for you folks new to the game, Mike Smith became Mike Smith in New York. Mike Smith won yeah. hundreds of races at Belmont Park. So he knows his way around there. He's won the race. You know, you say it's a rider's race. People talked about the Derby. There's no more, quote-unquote, rider's race than the Belmont Stakes because Belmont is unto itself. The polls are in different places. You know, we can talk about 100 Belmont Stakes rides that were, quote-unquote, blown because guys or gals pulled the trigger too soon.
Yep.
You have to be familiar with Belmont Park. I think it really helps the local riders, and I think that's why you're seeing Asmussen take off a guy like Ricardo Santana, who's his go-to guy right now. He's number one on the totem pole in the Asmussen barn. He goes to local rider Rod Ortiz. You see Donnie Von Hemel, who rides Louis Quinones on 300 horses a year, go to Mike Smith, a guy familiar with Belmont Park, because it's such a rider's race.
Yeah, it's so strange to me that, you know, when you talk to so many of these riders, and I've asked this question of so many riders over the years, look, I mean, an eighth pole is an eighth pole. A quarter pole is a quarter pole, right? The 3/16 pole is a 3. I mean, you have all the poles that are they're standard at every racetrack, right? So why is it different at Belmont?
It's not necessarily the poles. It's the placement. You know, it's the only mile
Correct.
And a half dirt
Correct.
Oval. So it's not just the place. You know, I tell this story all the time. The late, great Alan Jerkins was like a grandfather to me. And he was one of a million people who've always tried to get me to lose weight. And he used to take me for walks around Belmont Park. And we'd stop at the quarter pole. And the quarter pole is situated just before you swing off the turn. I mean, literally feet
yep.
off the turn. So
yep.
you have about a quarter of a mile from the top of the stretch home. And just stopping there and looking down from the quarter pole to the wire, it seems like an eternity. more often than not, when a guy or a gal is at the quarter pole on horseback, they're starting the far turn, or they're midway on the far turn. You're now coming off the turn, and you don't have an eighth of a mile to get home. You got to get another quarter of a mile. And so many horses have run out of gas right around the eighth pole for that reason, that the trigger was just, they pulled the trigger too soon, and there was nothing left for the last eighth of a mile.
All that coverage coming up next Saturday. We'll have our Equine Forum show from Belmont Park, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Then you can join us 2 o'clock Eastern time for coverage of the Belmont Undercard, which is spectacular. That coverage presented by VisitBarbados.org. And then we segue into that exclusive national broadcast of the Belmont Stakes in partnership with our friends at NBC Sports and Westwood One. That coverage beginning 5 Eastern time. And you can go to our website right now, horseracingradio.net, for a complete listing of affiliates around the country. Of course, all the SiriusXM information, and to listen worldwide, horseracingradio.net. And while you're there, go ahead and check out the podcast of some of our programs that we bring your way each and every week, including our Tuesday night Jock Talk show. And how good has that show been the last 2 weeks with host Christina McManigal? You had Ramon Dominguez 2 weeks ago for the full hour, and then she sat down for an hour with Hall of Famer Pat Day just this past week, and those interviews are up on our site now too. Boy, just tremendous.
13,000 wins, over 13,000 wins between them. I think Ramon retired 15 shy of 5,000. Pat Day over 8,800 wins, so a lot of wins in 2 hours of radio.
Yeah, and if folks haven't heard our Trainer Talk program the past couple of weeks, you've really missed out on a couple of good ones. Ned Allard joined us this past Wednesday evening. And the week before, Anthony Margata Jr., boy, that was an emotional show. Maybe the most powerful show that we have done in quite some time here on the network, telling his story and everything that he has been through in his personal life. It's an unbelievable story. If you missed it, go to our website, horseracingradio.net. Do yourself a favor. Listen to that hour with Anthony Margata Jr. The podcast is there under the Trainer Talk tab. You won't be disappointed. Of course, on Thursday nights, you can catch the Brisnet.com call-in show with Ed DeRosa and the Big A. You can call in and talk racing from 6 to 7 Eastern. And, of course, Friday evenings, our Express Bet Weekend Stakes preview, where Anthony and Ella Starr take a look at all the big races coming up each and every weekend. It's all there for you, horseracingradio.net. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back, and we're going to handicap the 4 stakes races coming up on the Penn Mile program later tonight. We'll do that next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Triple Crown.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way.
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than 2 guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello,
boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
On Saturday, June 4th, Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse is proud to present the fourth running of the $500,000 Grade 3 Penn Mile. Live racing action starts at 6 p.m. Eastern with an all-stakes pick 4 featuring the Pennsylvania Governor's Cup, the Penn Oaks, the Mountain View Stakes, and it's all anchored by the Penn Mile. Again, that's Saturday, June 6th at 6 p.m. Eastern at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse.
Power.
A Fleet Alex strolling home in the Preakness to win by 3.
Passion.
A Fleet Alex opening up with a tremendous burst of energy. He's 5 lengths clear at the 8th pole.
Performance.
It is Texas Red just outclassing them. Look at this for an easy one in the Breeders' Cup.
Gainesway Stallion of Fleet Alex. A champion on the racetrack, now a proven sire with 52 black type horses, 13 graded winners, 30 black type winners, and progeny earnings of $32 million. His seven Grade 1 winners include Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner Texas Red, Florida Derby hero Materiality, Travers winner of Fleet Express, and Charleray, a game winner of the Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks. On the racetrack, a Fleet Alex was a precocious two-year-old, winning his first four starts, including the Grade 1 Hopeful. At three, he dominated the Preakness and Belmont Stakes, winning by a combined 11 3/4 lengths. A Fleet Alex standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Grade 1 millionaire Cowboy Cow is leading the third crop sire by two-year-old winners with a dozen juvenile winners already this year. His runners have earned nearly $2 million, and his sires a greater percentage of winners than nearly any other stallion in his crop, including Pioneer of the Nile. Cowboy Cow, a grand-looking son of Giant's Causeway, standing at Penn Oak Stud.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Nyquist in front. His adversary, Exaggerator, got a jump on him, and he's gone by to take the lead as they come to the eighth pole. It is Exaggerator in front. Now, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of it second, and then Stradivari followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes. It was very close for a second. Nyquist and Cherry Wine were right together. And then it was loud on the outside. Lonnie followed by Stradivari. And the final time was 1 minute 58.31 seconds. It was Exaggerator's day today.
NBC's Larry Colmus with the call of the Preakness Stakes. That was last weekend in Maryland. Exaggerator heading on to the Belmont Stakes. Nyquist not going that direction, spiking a bit of a fever. He was back on the track the other day. Everything's fine, but they opted to bypass the Belmont Stakes, and they'll wait for a showdown with Exaggerator up the road. But for Exaggerator, we'll see if he can pull it off and win two out of the three Triple Crown races coming up next Saturday. You'll hear the race right here with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Mike Penna, Anthony Stabile, trackside in Grantville, Pennsylvania, at Penn National, getting ready for the Penn Mile later this evening. Horses still training, wrapping up the morning workouts, and the fog has lifted over the mountains. The gray skies are still here. We did see a peak of sun a little while ago. Supposed to have some off and on clouds throughout the day. The forecast is pretty good. They have brought in a chance of showers for tonight, about a 60% chance, starting right around 6 o'clock, which is first post, and the post time for the Penn Oaks at 6:05. So there is a chance we might get some rain. Mark Cassie in the first half of the program touched on it. But, Anthony, all systems being go for all the contenders as far as we know.
Yeah, no scratches as of yet. And solid card. Looking forward to that all-stakes pick four tonight. I'll certainly be jumping on in. And, yeah, good series of races tonight.
I want to spend just a moment talking about the man who declared himself the greatest of all time. That's Muhammad Ali, who the legend lost his life last night. People will be waking up to that this morning. He died at the age of 74. So the champ, Muhammad Ali, has passed on, and he will be missed. Of course, grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, so Kentucky fans certainly familiar with the champ.
Yeah, Cassius Clay, also known as Muhammad Ali. Parkinson's finally gets him at 74. Said it was the toughest fight in his of his life. And, you know, what can you say? Guy who really stood by what he believed in. And I think at the end of the day, that's the best thing you could say about a person.
Yeah, and from all reports, everything that I have heard on television, everything you've ever heard about Muhammad Ali, it's all very positive.
Yeah.
He's a showman. Certainly, he was one of those polarizing figures in the world of sports, not just here in the United States, but worldwide. Whether we see somebody like that come along again, I don't know. I mean, here was a guy that really captivated a worldwide audience and did it every single time he was in front of a camera or in the ring.
And, you know, being in the business like we are, the work he did with Howard Cosell, if that doesn't hook you on one on getting involved in broadcasting, I don't know what will.
Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Muhammad Ali dead at age 74. All right, the Penn Oaks kicks it off later tonight. Post time 6:05 Eastern. Purse of $200,000. It is for the three-year-old Phillies 1 mile on the turf course, which as of now is listed as firm, and that's expected to be the case later on this evening.
I liked a lot of the things Mark Cassie said about his Conquest Serenade, about working around the turf before she ever ran. And you look at her PPs, Mike, three races, loses her debut to Go Maggie Go, who's already a two-time grade two winner, Gulfstream Park Oaks and Black Eyed Susan, wins the next two. Switches surfaces now off two impressive dirt races, switches to turf. The mile shouldn't be a problem. Mark didn't make it sound like the turf was going to be a problem. I don't see a ton of pace in here as opposed to a lot of speed signed on in the Penn Mile. I don't see a ton of pace in here. I would not be too surprised if Florent Giroux grabs the lead early from post two and makes every pole a winning one. I'll be looking and leaning heavily in the pick four to start the action on the number two with the number two. Conquest Serenade. You need to take a look at Price to Perfection, though. And Involuntary for Arnaud de la Cour is a perfect 2-for-2 on a turf, maybe for a little bit of a long shot.
Conquest Serenade, don't you think, I mean, she had to be flattered when Go Maggie Go came back and won the Black Eyed Susan, right?
The Gulfstream Park Oaks first, and then the Black Eyed Susan, and a big fourth in the Kentucky Oaks.
She
had, you know, some excuse that day as well.
Yeah, other than running into that monster, she's been very, very good, has Conquest Serenade, 2-for-3 lifetime. I still think Price to Perfection is going to be the one to beat. Chad Brown, the trainer, we know that he has had some monster days on Penn Mile Day, and we'll see if he can do it again tonight. But this is a very talented daughter of Temple City. Joelle Rosario going to be back aboard. Joelle has ridden her twice in her career. He has a win in the Grade 3 Sweetest Chant at Gulfstream Park on January 30th, and he was second in the Ginger Brew Stakes at Gulfstream the time before, only beaten a half length. So he seems to fit Price to Perfection pretty well. Let me ask you about Lottie for a minute, because here's a horse that comes in for Graham Motion. Graham won the inaugural running of the Penn Oaks in 2004 with Interrupted. Graham can get a horse ready, and he's not going to send Lottie here if he doesn't think that she fits and that she's ready to roll.
Yeah, you know, just a maiden winner, she needs pace to run into. I mean, I don't think that is that's a mystery here. She needs a pace to run into, and again, I don't know if I see enough pace for her. And to be honest, Mike, she's one I think I want going longer. You know, the Penn Oaks, I would think you'll see a few of these fillies go to the Belmont Oaks on Stars and Stripes weekend. That's a mile and a quarter, and I would not be too surprised if Graham was gearing her up for a tilt at the 10 furlongs at Belmont in just about 6 or 7 weeks. She's one. You can keep an eye on her tonight. I don't know if there's enough pace, but going forward, she might be one you want at the longer distances.
The Penn Oaks is going to be followed by the Pennsylvania Governor's Cup with a purse of $150,000. It's for the three-year-olds and up, 5 furlongs on the turf, and we talked about it a couple of times now in the program. All eyes going to be on 10-year-old Ben's Cat as he makes his 56th lifetime start and his 5th appearance in the Pennsylvania Governor's Cup later tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've talked about it. There's not much else to say in here. He's going to be the favorite. He's a deserving favorite. I don't know if he's a shoo-in tonight. I have to be honest with you. Spring to the Sky ran lights out in the turf sprint when beaten just the neck to Ben's Cat last time out. That was his first start in just about 6 months. And more importantly, it was his first start as a gelding. You would think he's going to take a step forward with the race under his belt now as a gelding, just to overcome a six-month layoff, regardless of being a gelding. You'd think Spring to the Sky is going to take a step forward. And a horse that interests me, but wouldn't interest me as much if it does rain here today, is the 8 Cyclogenesis for George Weaver, who's been having a really good meet over at Belmont. Everything he sends out has been running. This horse started his career in brilliant fashion, a perfect 3-for-3 on turf and Polly up at Presque Isle. And then those proverbial wheels fell off. His two worst races, though, have come with Given the Ground. And if it rains here, I wouldn't be as high on him.
See, I think Cyclogenesis is the main danger to Ben's Cat. I think Ben's Cat is the horse to beat, but I think Cyclogenesis proves to be the main danger. I am not concerned about Spring to the Sky. I know you think that maybe he's a contender. Yeah, he could move forward second time as a gelding after that big effort against Ben's Cat. But you look at his record, he's 1-for-9 the last 2 years. He just doesn't win very often. He doesn't win enough for me to think he's going to beat Ben's Cat on the square later tonight.
He's had these flashes of brilliance where he's rattled off 3 or 4 in a row. You know, he's set a course record at one point. He's got a lot of talent there. I can't believe it took them till his 7-year-old campaign to geld him, because normally horses like him benefit from being gelded, especially, you know, he's not going anywhere as a sire.
Two races down, two to go. We'll look at those in just a minute, right after we remind you that 2016 marks the 60-year anniversary of thoroughbred racing at Woodbine Racetrack in Canada. And on Sunday, June 12th, you can watch and wager on the Woodbine Oaks. Woodbine will be guaranteeing the early and late pick four pools at $100,000 on Plate Trial / Oaks Day. And we'll be offering a special 20-cent bet minimum on all Triactor, Superfecta, Pick 3 and Pick 4 pools that afternoon. But that's not all. You can try your luck with the Thoroughbred Pick 5, now guaranteed at $50,000 Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays starting June 11th. And while you're at it, well, you might as well give the jackpot high five a go as well, with huge, huge potential for big pool payouts. For more information, simply visit woodbineracetrack.com. I just like saying Triactor. Is there going to be a Triactor in the Mountain View tonight? Five horse field?
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure. I'll call it a triple till the day I die. But sure, there'll be a Triactor, Mike.
Three graded stakes winners among the five horse field. So forget about the field size. We're talking about quality, quality, quality in the Mountain View. Carries a purse of $200,000. It is for the 3-year-olds and up, and they'll go a mile and an eighth on the main track here at Penn this evening.
Yeah, if you were listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview, the Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview on Friday, March 25th, you were very happy with the Uber Capper and Smavelis, because he loved Smavelis, got home at $42 and made a lot of money. Didn't run so well in the Charlestown Classic last time out. I mean, he ran okay, but did not get a piece. He figures to take some money. Red Rifle for the Todd Pletcher Barn figures to take some money. So there's not a lot of speed in here. And Red Rifle is a horse that used to go right to the top. Javier Castellano, one of his best attributes is recognizing a lack of pace going to the top. I don't know what he's going to do in here. I don't really like Red Rifle. Top billing adds the blinkers for Shug McGahee, who we're still trying to find out if Shug's ever run a horse at Penn National. I think he stays a little closer. I think top billing will be tough. I'll use him in Samavilis.
Yeah, I found it hard to get past those two as well. Red Rifle, also a contender in there, but he's struggled a bit as of late, especially on the main track. So he doesn't get an opportunity to run on the main track very often. He's more of a turf campaigner. But, yeah, for me, it was Smarvelous. I think he's the horse to beat. And then taking a look at top billing, who's going to be running late.
Yeah, those blinkers, I think, and a rider change to Kendra Carmouche, who's a little more of an aggressive rider. I think top billing will be forwardly placed. And he's a horse that Shug had high hopes for. He was on the Triple Crown Trail in 2014, so maybe he starts living up to his billing tonight.
I have the winner picked out in the Grade 3 Penn Mile, by the way.
No, you don't.
I'm telling you, I have the winner right here.
You don't.
It's a purse of $500,000 for the 3-year-olds. I won't get any part of the purse for picking it, but I'm telling you who's going to win the race. I'll tell you here in a moment. I'm going to let you handicap it first. The fourth running comes up at 7:40 Eastern Time. Field of 7, Catch a Glimpse, likely favorite, the filly taking on the boys, the first Breeders' Cup winner ever to compete in the Penn Mile. Our poll question at HRN on Twitter is, who is your pick to win Saturday's Penn Mile? You can go vote right now. Catch a Glimpse, Running away, 43% of the vote coming in for the filly.
I am part of that 43%. I think she sits the right trip tonight. I think Florent Giroux takes her off the pace, makes the one run. There's plenty of speed in here, and I think she makes the one run. Beach Patrol is probably her biggest danger tonight. I loved his race in the American Turf, needed him for a nice little score, got nailed on the money by Camelot Kitten, but I think the filly's too tough, and I don't think Mark Cassie would run her in here unless he thought she was the absolute goods. I really like Catch a Glimpse.
She is very good. She's very good going a mile. She's won 6 of 7. She is very difficult to knock, but I'm going to beat her. And I'm going to beat her with the Chad Brown-trained Beach Patrol. You just mentioned Beach Patrol making his very first start for Chad Brown. Now, horses doing that with Chad win 30% of the time. Last time out, beaten ahead by Camelot Kitten in the Grade 2 American Turf at Churchill, went in the barn of Phil D'Amato. This is a horse that can really motor home. As you know, the Brist PPs offer the late pace numbers. I'm a huge disciple of those. Best late pace numbers in the field. Going to run down, Catch a Glimpse at the wire. Beach Patrol wins it.
You realize Chad Brown's had him for about 5 minutes, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. He's Chad Brown.
Okay.
Enough said. All right, our thanks to all of our guests for joining us here this morning, including trainer Mark Cassie, that clip from Richard Mandela, who joined us yesterday, Jenny Bowman, the racing secretary, Eric Johnston, and Dr. Jerry Pack were all here for you this morning. You missed any portion, go to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast. We're back tonight, 6 to 8 Eastern. Sirius XM 83 is your home, and streaming worldwide, horseracingradio.net.
Can't wait for a fun night of stakes action here in Grantville, Pennsylvania.
Should be outstanding. Make sure you join us later tonight. 100 days to kick off. Hey, go Steelers.